I reckon I might need my Bible there. That might help. I feel like Brother Steve, I got a sign up here. I really don't know how this thing works, if I'm being honest with you. Huh? Yeah, probably. I don't know. Let's see. Try to get Uncle Sam looking good here. But there we go.
He moves more than Joe Biden does.
Yeah. Everybody see that? All right. Now we'll get started, hopefully. I'll go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. So bow your heads. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for letting us be able to gather here today, Lord, and thank you for letting us be able just to fellowship and sing. And we thank you so much for this country and all the great things that we get to do here and the freedom that we have to preach your word, God. And please fill me, God, and get me out of the way and just have your message through me, God. I'm just a messenger, Lord. Please touch somebody's heart. And we just thank you so much for your many blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So if you can't guess, my message may be a little bit patriotic tonight, but the title of my message tonight is I Want You. And as many of you know, tomorrow is America's birthday, and I for one cannot wait to blow some stuff up. It's gonna be great. It's and you know, if you're visiting tonight and you ain't from here, there's a few things that we love to do around here in Scott County. It's eat stuff, shoot stuff, and blow stuff up. So it's great, so welcome. It's like redneck heaven whenever the fireworks come out. So some of the near-death experiences in my life have been with my family with fireworks. It's always fun down there at the pond. We get those big ones that you put in the cannons, and you light them in the balls, and they go up. And one time they turned over, and they pointed right towards the camp chairs, and we about got blown up. But this isn't even my message tonight, but I would like to just say how much of a blessing it is to live in the country that we live in. You know, the freedom that we have to preach this book, you know, a lot of people don't have. And for us to be able to meet, thank you, brother, for us to be able to meet like this and have the freedom that we have and the kids to sing and to have a preacher preach, you know, the perfect word of God is just truly a blessing. And, you know, all the men that have served in the church, thank you. But a quote by Ronald Reagan, he said, if we ever forget that we are a nation under God, we are a nation gone under. And I love that quote right there because it's true. And even though we live in a great country, the need for God is greater than it ever has been. And, you know, we went street preaching a couple weeks ago in Gatlinburg, and they said it was one of the worst nights they had. It was the first night that I actually got to go. And people just wouldn't hardly talk to you. They got other things on their mind, and I tried to hand a gospel tract to one feller, and he just cursed the Lord literally like right there in the middle of the street in front of everyone. And it was just so bizarre to me that that's really how our country has gotten to, is that people don't even care anymore. They don't even want to know about the Lord. And, you know, even the people that can claim to be Christians, contemporary Christians, and the preachers, they only want to listen and hear the things that they want to hear. And they don't want to listen to the things that they need to hear. And that's the word of God and preaching on sin and hell and all the things that nobody wants to preach about. That's the things that they need. And they just want to talk about the love and all the unicorns and lollipops and all that stuff. That's not real life, folks. And while it is true that God does love you, like nobody else, he's still a God of like a consuming fire. And there's just so many things that people get mixed up, and they just want what they want. They don't want what they need. So, like I said, I'm going to quit meddling. My granny said sometimes I get to meddling and I quit preaching, so I won't do that. So anyways, my message tonight is I want you. And I've actually had this thought back in high school, junior year, right after I got called to preach. This was actually in my history teacher's room. I borrowed it from him. And I just never had the chance to preach it, never really put it together until a couple months ago. And then Billy Dilber texted me a couple days ago or a week ago or whatever and asked me if I would preach. And it just, I've never been one to preach on like a certain holiday or something if it comes around. But it just, that was what was on my heart. So that's what you're going to get. I'm sure many of you have seen this poster. It's Uncle Sam from World War I and World War II that says, "I want you," in the big letters there for the U.S. Army. And the background, the basic gist of why this was such a big propaganda was because everybody seen this poster. I mean, I'm sure many of you that were alive at that point in time have seen that poster. And the poster, the main purpose was to encourage able-bodied men to fight for their country. So tonight, I want to be an encouragement to you to stay in the fight and finish your course and keep the faith for the Lord Jesus Christ and be a soldier in His army. Go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy 6:12. I got 2 points here as a way of introduction, and then I got three more that is the meat of the message. So we'll start out here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. But the Lord wants you. He wants every single one of us. We all have a purpose. He wants every single one of us. And you may think, oh, well, He can't use me. Well, He took 12 nobodies and changed the world. And He took, you know, Moses, who was a stutter, had a stuttering problem, and he led a nation. And, you know, He let David, with the power of God in David, He killed a giant, and he was just a shepherd boy. And every time you see, well, not every time, but most of the time in the Bible, Jesus is always hanging out with the lepers and the people who are sick and the people who need healing. Why? Because He wants them. He wants you. No matter who you are, no matter where you came from, come as you are. And the Lord wants you. But I'll start reading here in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The Lord wants us to fight the good fight of faith. Are you fighting the fight of faith? The Lord wants us to get up and fight and be soldiers for Him. You know, I could preach a whole message just on being a soldier for Christ, but I'm not. My question to you is, even though the Lord wants you, do you want the Lord? Amen. Have you stopped fighting? Turn over to Galatians 5:7 real quick. Have you stopped fighting the fight? Have you quit running the race? Have you just been nonchalant and living a wasteful Christian life? Galatians 5:7. We'll be doing a little bit of turning tonight. Keep you awake. I thought about preaching all the way until tomorrow night, and then you'd really be awake with all the fireworks. Amen. I'm just kidding. Galatians 5:7 says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" You did fight well, didn't you? Maybe in your younger years, or maybe you just got saved a few months ago, and then you're already starting to backslide. You did run well, but what happened to the fight you were fighting and the fight and doing what the Lord wanted you to do? But what happened? The verse says some things started to hinder you. Who hindered you? Probably the devil. You started doing the wrong things. You started watching the wrong things, looking at the wrong things, and all those things hindered you from fighting the fight. That's all the devil wants, is to get you out of the fight. Every single day, it's a fight with the devil. It's a war. And you're probably thinking, oh, here we go again. The preacher's just preaching on all the things that I need to do and all the things I'm doing wrong in my life. And yes, I am, because every week you don't listen. And it's just, I'm just being honest. I'm guilty myself. Brother Dilbert comes up here and he preaches the word. Brother Jack, whoever, anybody, and they preach the word and they tell you all the things that you need to do, all the things that can encourage you and help you to have a better walk with God, and you just walk out the door. And one ear and out the other. And you won't fix it because you don't want to fight. A lot of you are just throwing up the flag. But point number one is the Lord wants us. And that leads me to my next point. What do you want? Go to James 4. Go to James chapter 4. These are just a couple introduction points here, and then I'll get into the meat of the message. Go to James chapter 4. I almost said Jude chapter 4, but There's not even four chapters in Jude. There's only one chapter. Nobody laughed out there, so y'all don't read your Bible. Anyways, James chapter 4, we'll start in verse 5. This point, it's introductory here. What do you want? Number one, the Lord wants you. He does. But the question to you is, what do you want? James chapter 4, verse 5 through 8. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to who? To God. What's the rest of the sentence say there? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does that mean? You have a choice. It's either God or the devil. You're either going to submit yourself to God and resist the devil, or you're going to submit yourself to the devil and resist God. It's up to you. It's all about what you want. And you have a choice every day between God and the devil. Every single day you wake up, and one of them, as soon as you open the door, you're going to open the door to the world, or you're going to open the door to God. And every single day you're going to, one of those masters, you're going to love one and hate the other every single day. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You cannot have one foot on each side of the fence. That's where a lot of Christians try to stay, is on each side, and they'll just waste their life away. They'll have a miserable life because they'll come to church on Sunday, but they'll drink on Saturday, and they're just trying to live in both places, and you just can't do that. You can't expect to walk with the God. You can't hold, I'll get it out in a minute. You can't walk with God if you're holding hands with the devil. Young people, you can't live in the world and expect to have a good walk with God. You're going to go out in high school, you younger kids in middle school, your life will change. I just graduated high school, and my life's already changed. The Monday after I graduated, I started work, and my life was completely different. And it was just kind of like a shock to me, I guess, that all the years that I had been doing sports and grades and trying to work to get good grades and all that stuff in school, and all the friends that I made, it was like it was gone in a week. And I started a new job, and I'm driving to work every day. I got to get up at 5:30 in the morning, and I work for the government. So that's good. It's the good kind of government, though. It's Big South Fork. I don't know if there's a good government, I guess. But, no, I work for Big – I love my job, actually. But anyways, I don't even remember what I was saying. Oh, young people. Your life's going to change. And either way, you're going to be on one side or the other. And I will just say that God's grass is always greener. Ever since I got called to preach, everything's just been so different. And it's been a blessing that what the Lord's led me to do, and I give all the glory to him for that. But, why not you? Why can't you have that too? Or you just, I'll get into something else here a little bit later on, so I don't want to ramble too much about this. But it really is, what do you want? The Lord wants you, but what do you want? That's the main question. What do you want? Do you want to do what you want to do, or do you want to do what the Lord wants to do? Amen. Before I got called to preach, I was doing what Hugo Henry wanted to do. And that moment when it clicked for me was the greatest. It was like peace. I've never been able to describe it, but it was just like perfect. I knew that's exactly what the Lord wanted me to do, so I did it. And a lot of people just keep running from the Lord, and you can't outrun the Lord. But anyways, I'll get into the meat of the message now. Go to 2 Timothy 4:7. Very familiar passage here. Heard it preached a whole bunch of different ways, but just bear with me. It's good. You need the encouragement. You need the word. No matter how many times you heard it preached. They was telling a story in junior church the other day. I was down there preaching, and they had that missionary book, and it was a missionary. I forget where he was, but there was one man after he was leaving, and he had one page out of the Bible, and he said he had read that page ever since he was a little boy, and he was like 80 years old, and it was one page out of Exodus. I don't know what it was, but it was just one little page out of Exodus, and you have to think, what would that guy have done with the whole Bible? And, we're so lucky, and we won't even pick it up. You know, the devil's not afraid of a dust-covered Bible, folks. That story, that guy had one page in Exodus, and he said, I didn't know that this was from the Bible, but I knew it was holy. And we have the whole book. And it sure is holy. It sure is good. It'll get you in the right place. So I'll start here in chapter 4, verse 7. Or verse 6, sorry. This is Paul here, like I said, very familiar, but it's all good. Amen. Verse 6 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Point number one tonight, these next few points here are going to be coming out of this. This is going to be our key verse for tonight. And these next few points I have to deal with your wants and what your desires and the things you should want to do for the Lord in your Christian walk. So, what do you want tonight? Point number one, you should want to fight. Now, like I said, now more than ever, we need Christians to stand up and fight. And fight the fight of faith, the good fight of faith. It is our reasonable service, right? That's what the book says. We should have a desire and a want to fight for the cause of truth and right. That rhymed. I didn't even mean for it to do that. But anyways, turn back to chapter 2, verse 3. Just one page over there, probably. This is still Paul here. And chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Paul says you should be a good soldier for Jesus. But the first part of this verse is true. In order to fight, you're going to have to endure some things. You're going to have to endure some hardness. And it's not going to be easy. But one day it'll be worth it all, amen. It'll be worth it all whenever we get up there. And it's if you want to hear well done, you better do well. And I'm not talking about works. That's not going to get you to heaven. I'm just saying if you want to have the rewards, if you want to hear well done, you better do well while you're here. Like that song we were singing, we should seek eternal gain, not worldly riches. And, you know, it's time to fight. Ecclesiastes 3:8. It's a good passage. I just have the one verse here. It says, "A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." We're going through war every day. I said this a minute ago. Between us and the world and the devil, and you have to fight him off every day. He's going to hurl those darts of temptation at you. And in this fight, you're going to have to overcome some adversity and stay the course. So turn to Proverbs 24 real quick. Are you willing to stay in the fight? Or are you just going to lay down and throw up the white flag and just live your life as a wasteful Christian? I think that's one of the worst ways to live your life is as a wasteful Christian. And what I mean by that is somebody who just gets in and they just got in and that's where they stay. They don't finish the course. They barely just started the course. It's like they joined the football team and then they just sat on the bench the whole season. That doesn't even make sense. And they had the ability to do great things, right? We all have a purpose. We can all do great things for the Lord, but we have to want to do it. Hence, the whole point of the message, what do you want? Proverbs 24, verse 10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." It's a fight. You're going to have face a lot of adversity in this fight of faith. You're going to have to overcome a lot of adversity. You're going to lose people, even people, not even necessarily death, people in the church. You're going to have to overcome a lot of things. But if you overcome those things, then you'll have great strength. But if you fold, then the Bible says your strength is small. But like I said, in this fight, you have to overcome adversity and stay the course. Now, I have a story here. I don't know what I did with it. I found it. It's right here. this is titled "A Soldier in the Army of God." It says, "I'm a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army. But I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If God needs me, I'm there. I'm a soldier. I'm not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in my place, saluting my king, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. No one has to send me gifts, flowers, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will come out even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to a captain and then bring me back to rule this world with him. I am a soldier in the army, and I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier, marching heaven bound. What's that mean? Get up and fight. You should get up and fight. Number one, you should want to fight. And so many Christians just lay down, and they'll throw up the white flag, and they'll just throw in the towel every single time. You should get up and fight. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. You should be a soldier for the Lord. You should get up and fight every single day because, like I said, it's a war. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Not only is this a fight, it's a race. If you remember in our key verse there, it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So the next point here is you should want to finish. And Hebrews chapter 12, I'll start reading in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and set it down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So what do we see here? We see that this is a fight and it's a race. But look at verse 2 there. I want to read it again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus was a finisher, wasn't he? You're asking yourself, what does that mean? What does that mean to be a finisher of faith? Jesus had one purpose on this earth, was to come and die on the cross for sinners to save us and to live a perfect life. And that was his purpose. He had one mission, and he was a soldier, and he did it. He did it, and he finished it because he wanted to do it for God. God wanted him to do that, and he said, in Luke chapter 22:42, he says, "For not my will but thine." And then just a few chapters later, he fought and he bled and died and he was beaten and battered and he suffered for you on the cross. And in John 13:19-30, the Bible says those three words, "It is finished." Jesus was a finisher. Are you going to be a finisher? Are you going to run this race? Are you just going to give up? Are you going to throw in the towel? And Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Each and every one of you have a purpose to fulfill, just like Jesus did. Are you going to finish like he did, or are you just going to go through the motions? Go back to 2 Timothy. Preach here a little bit on Paul. Second Timothy, back to our key verse in verse 6. I'll start reading. But before I start reading, we see that Paul here, you know, he has finished the course, right? He says, "I'm ready." He has finished the course. He's fought the fight. And I'll start reading in verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now look at verse 10 here. This is my point. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you want to know why many Christians don't finish the race, don't finish the fight? They had the same problem that Demas did. They love this present world. That's why everyone, they just knock out finishing the course, because they get in the world, they get into sin, and that leads me to ask you, are you still going to finish the course? Are you even on the same road anymore? Are you even running the same race? Brother Dilbert always says, the right road always leads to the right place. Do you even want to finish tonight? Or are you just going to keep going through your life and doing what you want to do? Do you even want the reward? Do you even seek those eternal gains? I hope you do, because I think, I know that myself, I get out of the race sometimes. And many of you may be out of the race tonight, and you know it. But the great thing is that you can jump right back in where you left off. The Lord will let you come back, and he'll forgive you. And you can serve God to fulfill your purpose and finish just like Jesus did. The thing is, you just have to want to finish. It's always about the want. It's always a desire. In football, whenever I wanted to be the best and earn a starting spot, I had to want it. I had the desire. I stayed after. I caught passes. I did all the things. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I had that desire. I had that want to, and I had a goal, and I achieved it. That's the same way it is with the Lord. If you want to serve the Lord, you have to want to do it, and you have to want to finish the fight. My last point here is, do you want the faith? Have you kept the faith, I guess I should say? Paul says, I have kept the faith, here in verse 7. Have you been faithful to the Lord? I'll turn to Hebrews 6:11. You don't have to turn there for time's sake. But have you been faithful to the Lord, or have you been unfaithful to the Lord? I can go ahead and save you the trouble. You've probably been unfaithful to the Lord, because I've been unfaithful to the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have to seek him. The Bible says it is impossible to please him without faith. You have to have faith. You know, I think of the disciples on the ship over there in the Gospels, whenever the sea's turning and the boat's filling up with water, and they're like, we're all going to die, and Jesus is back there asleep. And whenever they go to wake him up, he says, oh, ye of little faith. And I mean, it's funny, because we're the same way. Whenever our life is, you know, we feel like we're getting, we're drowning, our boat's sinking, and Jesus is like, I got this. Just have a little bit of faith. Do you have faith in the Lord? Are you just trying to do it alone? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean on your own understanding. The thing about it is, you can't do anything I've talked about so far without the faith in God. You have to trust him, and you have to want to believe it. You have to believe this book. You have to want to serve him. Without faith, it doesn't mean anything if you don't really believe what you're doing. I think of, stay on the patriotic side, I think of my granny told me a story about a young man who was in the Army, and before he left, his mama said, I'll be praying for you every day in the kitchen by the stove at 4 o'clock. And they were out there, and they were on top of a hill, and they were going to hang the flag. But the enemies were down under there, and they could see up on the where they were going to hang the flag. And every time that a soldier would go up there and try to hang the flag, they would get shot, and they would get shot down. And that boy said, well, I bet you I can hang that flag at 4 o'clock. And what is that? It's because he knew that he had a praying mama that was faithful, and faithful to the Lord, and he knew through faith that he could do that. So when 4 o'clock came around, he got up there on that flag, and he hung on that pole, and he hung that flag. And there was bullets going by him and everything. What is that? That's faith. He knew that. And you have, number one, you have to want to fight. And then number two, you have to want to finish, and you have to keep the faith. Now, I won't preach any more on that. I've got a demonstration, or not really a demonstration, I guess. I'm done with that part of the message, but Brother Dilbert said I could set this off, actually. I'm just kidding. It's a firework. It's one of the ones. Anyways, I'm just kidding. I don't have a lighter. Don't worry. Some of y'all are like, he's going to blow that up. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No, anyways, I'm kidding. But right here is a little firecracker. We all know these. You've probably almost blown your foot off or your family's foot off with one of these. And these is one of the ones that you put in the little canisters. Yeah, that, you know, you put like this one's a. Usually you have like the balls that you put in the thing, and that, you know what I'm talking about. Anyways, my point is, you either have the power to be this, or you have the power to be this. I think that this is like a lukewarm Christian, and this is a Christian who has the fire and the fight and the want to finish the fight. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind." 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We have the power of God, folks, and we should be making a boom. You should be making a boom like one of these. And one of these, whenever it blows up, everybody's like, ooh. And you're looking around like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's the same way. It can be the same way with the Lord. With one of these, it's just like a little bit tiny spark. It's like a little bit amber. But this, it will light up the sky. And we have the power to either lift God up and make him look like this, or we can live our lives like a lukewarm Christian and just be a little bitty firecracker that's here and gone. And this one, when it blows up, it goes boom, and then it keeps going out and out and out. But it's really up to you. Which one do you want to be? And it's a silly demonstration, I get it. It may not even make sense to you. But back to the main point of the message, and I'm done. I'm out of time. But it's all up to you on what do you want. The Lord wants you, but do you want him? Amen. And will you fight the fight of faith? Will you stay the course? And like Uncle Sam said, I want you. Do you want the Lord? Because the Lord wants you. Brother, I'm done. Okay. If anybody wants these, it's $5. Just kidding.
Thank you, Hugo. Let's stand for prayer.